Audio Gravity, 11th of August 2009. Playing a little bit of catch up here for the last couple of days, mainly because I've been working on a template for Uvu, which is going to be pretty nifty, hopefully, once it's finished. It's going to be a little bit of a departure away from the old theming convention of just throwing various bits on there and have a bit of more structure to it in terms of what one of the viewing experiences might be like. So, first link today is over on alienbees.com. Alien Bees, don't worry about it, it's not some sort of generic nano operated on bee. It's a company that produces transmitters and units for cameras. So like you might have an umbrella or a brolly box and you might want to talk to it remotely. And you can buy these things from, you know, Nikon and Canon and various other places, but they're normally super, super expensive. These ones I've been looking at, they've got a new one out called the CyberSync, which is a 2.4 gigahertz radio remote control system. Not only is it very, very small, it's a hot shoe size, so you chuck it in your hot shoe. It's got this little tiny aerial on it. It looks particularly badass. And it's got 16 selectable frequencies on it, so to try and eliminate interference. A battery drawer on it, 1 year plus transmitter battery life, which is pretty awesome. And they're a reasonable price. The trigger transmitter is $60. The powered AC powered trigger receiver is $69. So, you know, we're not talking mega bucks here for what it actually does. Total battery on time is about 200 hours. So if you typically do, say, 4 hour shoot sessions, battery should last for around 50 such sessions. When a unit is shut off, the shelf life of the battery is on the order of 1 to 2 years. And you can buy the batteries. The CSRB operates two standard AA cells, so they're fairly easy to get hold of. Looks pretty cool. I would love to have one of these and play one of these with the Nikon that I've got. I think I'm probably going to upgrade later on, probably January time, to depart from Nikon unless they bring out something as equally as awesome as the Canon Mark. Canon 5D Mark II, because it just looks like the camera that I'm thinking about moving to, and also you get the video side of it as well. It's not cheap, but and also, you know, I've got to think about the lenses, but seeing as the fact I've only got one Nikon lens, it's not like I'm changing my whole thing for it. I actually really, really like the D40 as a introduction DSLR. I've been really pleased with it, and so I don't know why I want to change, but I've just seen some footage on Vimeo over the last couple of months of 5D, and it's just, with some decent lenses, it could be the one. Maybe by the end of the year, Nikon will have a different one out, so we'll have a look. Nikon, Nikon, whichever one you say it as. Next thing today, Facebook acquires FriendFeed. Well, to be honest, this was a bit of a shock. I expected it not to happen for another year and a year and a half. I guess it's just because everybody's trying to connect with everybody at the minute. You know, everybody's trying to, you know, acquire each other. FriendFeed. So let me think about FriendFeed being sort of rolled into Facebook. I actually quite like the fact that they're independent. I'm not a massive FriendFeed user in terms of me sitting on their page while stuff flies by. I've always found that a bit weird. Do I really want a real-time Twitter style? Oh my God, all this stuff's coming at me. I like that they've built that function for the aesthetics. I like the fact that it rolls down the page. But I just don't have that much time to sit there watching all that stuff. I'm sure people do, but I just don't. So how is FriendFeed going to look when it's inside of Facebook? Will it be an independent body? Will they be using technology from each other? Are they going to use... You know, I can imagine the first thing would be to make FriendFeed as scalable as Facebook. The combination of the information, the data that gets posted on FriendFeed, I guess when, you know, Twitter goes down, people go either to FriendFeed or Plurk or various other places. Interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this fuses together, and I think it will be a cornerstone as to how other social conversational tools will go in the future, who they're going to connect up and bond with ultimately. Next link today is a video over on YouTube. It's by Viral Video Chart, and it's actually from the 7th of August. I'm behind by a few days, but I really, really like this. How to use social media to get a job. It's only had 833 views, which is surprising because I think it's a cool little video and I just like the real light-hearted way of doing it. But I mean, some of the stuff on this is a little bit sort of overhyped, and some of it is just a little bit, But watch it anyway. I liked it. I liked it purely from the fact that they, you know, it was very tongue in cheek. And I've got massive props for Howcast anyway, because I just love their system. The fact that they've, you know, got this animation process where they actually put titles and you will need one of these and you will need one of these. Pretty awesome. Next link is over on Google Code, code.google.com. By the way, all of these links will be in the comment underneath the audio post. So if you scroll down in the page, you'll see that every audio post has all the links to all the things that I'm discussing today. Pub Sub Hub Bub, great name. Purely must have come out of drinking too much Java coffee. Coffee. And what I like about this could be... I think it's a bit of a push towards, you know, making protocols that work a little bit more lightweight instead of like being so dependent on the DB all the time, and aspire to be a more real-time protocol. So this is an open server-to-server webhook-based pub sub. So you publish subscribe protocol as an extension to Atom and RSS. So, you know, basically anybody can become a hub. And you can get near on instant notifications via webhook callbacks from this hub. I think we're going to see a lot of these protocols coming out because we're going to rapidly move towards live now. And having applications that can mash up stuff very quickly and be distributed is going to be a big thing. So check that out. And they've got a little bit of code up there in a minute. It's something that we are definitely going to have a look at in the next couple of months. Just can't touch it right now. But it's something that looks very interesting. And I'm interested to see how that will progress. Next link today is 99designs.com. Evany needs something designed. 99designs connects clients needing design work such as logo designs, business card, or websites to a thriving community of 43,000 talented designers. That doesn't mean there's 43 talented designers, it just means there's 43,000 people probably signed up. But what I do like about it is there's similar sites out there like this, but this is nice because people basically do design, send it to you, say, what do you think? And then people vote. And you can sort of decide, yeah, that's all right, but I sort of like that from that. And you just get a better product in the end. And it's fairly reasonable, especially in these times of the downturn. People are looking for work, and therefore, you know, there is a certain amount of bartering that you can be done on this. Finally today, one of the things that scared the hell out of me, and I am never going anywhere near to the Philippines, giant meat-eating plant found, a new species of giant carnivorous plant has been discovered in the highlands of the central Philippines. The pitcher plant is among the largest of all pitchers and is so big that it can catch rats as well as insects in its leafy trap. Oh my god. Give it 5 years, it'll be like walking the streets, you know, going into Mackie D's, grabbing a coffee, sitting next to Itsu. Bam! Gone! Eaten! Watch out for them, people. Giant meat-eating plants. See you all tomorrow. Bye.